So church, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. This morning, again, I want to speak about Jesus. I want to speak about Jesus from Psalm 27. And I will read from verse 1 to verse 6. The title of this message, Confidence in God. Those using the ESV, Pew Bibles 460. It reads as following. Of God, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arises against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. The Lord bless the reading of his word. May he reform our hearts as we come to hear his word. May we pray together. Faithful and wonderful God, we are a people waiting, people ready to hear from you. What a beautiful day it is, O God, to come and be in the house of the Lord. O Father, regardless of the waves of life, here we are, O God. Teach us your ways. Encourage us to be confident in you, to trust and to depend on you, O God, this morning. As we go through these few verses, thank you, Father, for your word. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. On the 16th of April, 1521, as Martin Luther, the Reformer, stood against the false church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. He was then summoned to appear before the emperor. He was summoned to appear before the council for his execution. As Luther and his companions came closer to the gates of the city called Worms, as Luther came closer there, and his days and hours to die were coming also closer. But Luther composed a new song, and the title of that song is called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Luther began to sing as though nothing was about to happen to him, as though he was not about to lose his head, but his head was on the line. As you read that hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, you realize that it is a hymn simply to reveal to us Luther's confidence in God. At the point of death, Luther writes a hymn showing his great confidence in the God of heaven, not to himself, not to his theology, not to anything of this world. But his confidence was in God. Before us this morning is a psalm. It is a psalm of confidence. It is a psalm necessary in the times of chaos and distress. It is a psalm which points us and reveal God's love and faithfulness to us. When you read this psalm, you soon realize that
there is one important thing and one sufficient thing in the midst of trial. As you walk through this way, this dark street of Olivet, there is one important and sufficient thing for you as a Christian. It is to have confidence in God. And that is something we normally forget as we come through or we face difficult times. At times our confidence is misplaced. At times our confidence is in our own strength and other people. Sometimes our confidence is in our own personal faith, forgetting that anyone who will have confidence in anything else rather than God, he is lying to himself and has just begun to believe his own lie. Confidence must be in God. Actually, confidence in anything else or in someone else rather than God, it is a fast forward button to disappointment. I remember a few months ago, I was in Durban with my family. We go out sometimes. I was in Durban with my family. While we were there enjoying the beach, my family decided to hire a small boat. One of those things that you paddle yourself with your own feet. You actually can see the water running under or beneath the boat. So as they were enjoying the paddling, my daughter Nonto saw a crocodile looking at her with hungry eyes. So she says, she started crying. They laughed at her, Ntokozo and my wife, saying it was a piece of wood beneath the boat. That was Nonto sitting there, looking at this thing, continuing to cry. She cried and she cried. She forced them to go back to shore. When they came out of the water, she came to me and told me that there is a crocodile in the water. So she suggested that I should go back or should climb into that boat and go to kill the crocodile. Why? Because the crocodile, I asked her why, she said the crocodile only looked at me. The crocodile didn't look at Ntokozo, the crocodile didn't look at mom. The crocodile looked at me. I am your daughter, you said you love me. Go kill the crocodile. Friends, what you can see there that she had great confidence in me. She trusted that I was capable of killing a crocodile inside the water. But lately, did she know how worthless it is to trust a man who is so scared of water from the day when he was 14, when his dear friend of his almost drowned to death? She had confidence in the wrong place. Of course, she's young. She doesn't know Psalm 118, verse 8, which says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men." She didn't know that. You cannot blame her. But is it not amazing that today you have adult people who act like children, adult people who will have their confidence in anything else, in everything else but God? The message to my daughter, the message to anyone else is very clear. I will not always be there to take care of her. She needs to know that God is a better father than I am. She needs to have confidence in God. And that is the message of this psalm this morning, especially from verse 1 to verse 6. The psalmist is aware that God alone will say, "Call upon me in the days of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me." So he will not trust in men. The psalmist will not look up to men. The psalmist will not look up to an army. The psalmist will not look up to himself. The psalmist will not look up to the world that is growing and increasingly dark and frightening. He knows there is no peace in this world. He knows there is no rest in this world. You don't even know what tomorrow shall bring. The stock market falls every time and our future is shaken. You cannot trust the politicians. You cannot even trust the police. Your family will leave you and forsake you. People, they will say, "I love you today," and kill you the next day. You cannot trust anyone. Husbands are unstable in their love for their wives. Wives are shaken day by day in their pursuit to honor their husband. Life is uncertain. There is death each and every minute. Where is your confidence? So friends, it is unwise to have confidence in such a sinking sand. This morning the Lord speaks to us through this psalm. A psalm written by David, a man who had every reason to boast of himself. A man who had every reason to have confidence in himself. A man who had achieved so much in this world. A man who had killed a bear with his own bare hand. A man who had killed a lion. A man who had killed Goliath and a thousand of his enemies. But he says, my confidence is in the Lord. My children may have forsaken me. My children may come against me. Everything may come against me, but I trust in the Lord. My enemies can roar against me like a lion, but I stand before you, and I have confidence in the Lord. Friends, that is very helpful to hear, especially as we also encounter different kinds of challenges throughout our life, throughout our journey here on earth. We need to know that we can have confidence in God. But we must also know why should we have confidence in God. And this morning, from the words of this psalmist, we have three reasons why to have confidence in God in the midst of trouble. Firstly, the psalmist says in verse number 1, the Lord is my light. I want you to see that. The Lord is my light. And I want to ask you something, friends. Be honest with yourself. Is there any among you who enjoys the absence of light? Is there any among you who does not know that the absence of light means danger? Let me tell you another story. When I was 14, a very dear close friend of mine, was running in the dark. A friend of mine was running, trying to cross from one house to another house. He was running in that dark. But there was a line, you know those lines? There was a line, a washing line, that is put this side of that part where he was walking to the other side. This thing was lifted up, you know the line is lifted up. Not above 1.5 meters from the ground. The boy ran straight to that line because it was dark, and the line hit him straight on the neck. The next thing he knew, he was inside the house. His neck was sore because the line clotheslined him on the neck, but his back was also sore. But you cannot blame the poor young man. It was dark. I personally did not even laugh at him because I know darkness means danger. And friends, you and I, we know with certainty that there is the darkness that needs a divine intervention. There is darkness that needs the divine light of God. A darkness that only God can take away. It needs the light of God. The light, the Bible says in John chapter 1, the light which comes in darkness, and darkness is not able to put it out. The light which comes in darkness, and darkness is not able to comprehend that light. And the psalmist speaks of the light. He says in verse number 1, the Lord is my light. When he speaks of the Lord there, he speaks of Jehovah. He speaks of the Jehovah of the Old Testament, who lighten up the path, to lighten up the way for Israel to walk through, to travel throughout their journey to the promised land. He speaks of that Jehovah, the very same Jehovah who lighten up our path today, the very same Jehovah who points us to our promised land, has enlightened up our path, the same Jehovah who shall bring us home. He says, Jehovah is my light. The Jehovah whose word is a lamp on our feet and a light on our path. The psalmist understands that there is darkness in this world. a darkness that needs Jehovah. The psalmist remembered that he was chased. He was chased after by King Saul. He was run down by his own son Solomon, trying to take him out of kingship, trying to install himself as a king. David spent most of his life in darkness. He spent most of his life running. He knows what darkness is, and he knows what light is needed in such darkness, as he was chased out by his enemies from the outside and his enemies from the inside. He lived in the midst of sin, in the midst of war. Perhaps as he was going through that particular time, he asked questions that we also ask. Why is this thing happening to me? Perhaps he asked those questions. There was a time, as you read this time, it says there was a time when he thought that the evildoers were about to eat up his flesh. That means they were about to destroy him, to leave him vulnerable and not able to come up again. He says there was that time when the enemy, it looked like he was about to eat up my flesh. But, friends, the Lord was on his side. And what a great encouragement it is for us this morning to know that the Lord is our light. He affects our redemption positively. His light affects our worship positively. In other words, we wouldn't worship God the way we worship God this morning if he has not come through to our lives, in our lives, and became light for us. We worship him in spirit and truth because he came through as light, and he shines his light in our dark minds and our dark hearts, so that it may be light for us, so that we may see God, that he alone is the light of the world. What an encouragement it is for us this morning to know that God is light. He lightens up our lives with the truth. He lightens up our lives with his word, so that we may have the light of eternal life. I want you to notice, look at your verse. David does not say, the Lord gives me light. He says, the Lord is my light. God himself is the light. He is that particle that shines forth, that brings the brightness. He does not produce brightness. He can produce brightness. He does produce light. But David says, the Lord himself is the light. He is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the life, the light of life. He will have eternal life. Whoever believes in him will not remain in darkness. There is no way, friends, that we remain in darkness if we have believed in this Lord. David says in Psalm 18, verse 28, just to add on this, listen to what David says. You can write it down. Psalm 18, verse 28. He says, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. God lightens my darkness. My confidence is in him. He removes my enemies. He's the one who takes away all my foes. He's the one who removes me and separates me from the world of sin and wickedness. There is no darkness in him. Remember what the Apostle John, if you read your Bible, you will know what the Apostle John says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to what the Bible says. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. John says, this is the message we heard from Jesus. This is the message we are preaching to the church. What are we preaching to the church? He says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The light speaks there of purity. The light speaks of holiness. Friends, do you associate yourself with such a character? Holiness and purity. That's what the light speaks of. It is the character of God. There is no darkness in him. And for that reason, my friend, we cannot doubt God, for God is light. He is always truthful. He is always loving. He is the light. Light also speaks of righteousness. Light also refers to the Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the light that came into darkness, and the darkness was never able to comprehend him. The light which gives light to everyone. Jesus cannot be compared. And for that reason, we depend on him. For that reason, we have fellowship with him. For that reason, we have a true knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. For he is the light of our lives. In verse 4, look at verse 4 already just now. In verse 4, we realize that once you find God to be light, once you realize that God is light, you cannot help but desire to abide in the house of the Lord. You cannot help but to seek to go to the house of the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. He can only say this, you can only say this, once we have found God to be the light of your life. Unless you find God to be light, you will not desire to come to the house of the Lord. You will not inquire. You will not come to God for instruction. You will get instruction from the world. Until you find God to be light, you will have all the advices of the world. Until you find God to be light, you will be advised, and your children will be raised and groomed by the television, the television that you have in your own house. Unless you have the God as the light of your life. The psalmist says, the Lord is my light. I look only unto that light. Anything that seems to be like a light in this world is not my light. God is my light. That's what you see in verse 4. He says, the obstruction which used to be on your path is now removed. You find joy in worshiping God. You find joy in fellowship with other believers in the house of the Lord. So friends, what is the confidence that you find here? The confidence is the fact that God is not man. God is not man. He is God. He is light. He will always shine forth. Men may act like they are shining forth, but soon they dim. Their light loses the fuel that is in the lamp. But God always shines forth. God is always there for us. Why? So that we may depend on him today for tomorrow. Secondly, the psalmist says in the same verse, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. The word salvation there in the verse does not refer to the eternal salvation which we receive through Christ. It refers to preservation. The Lord is my preserver. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my protector. That is what the psalmist is talking about. The word speaks of safety in this life, but safety against enemies, safety against physical danger. So David says, God keeps me now. He keeps me now. He protects me now. He protects me from my enemies today. He guides me today. As we speak, he surrounds us with flames of fire through his angels. He keeps us. David says, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me that I'm his. And the joy that we share each day, the joy that we share when we tarry there, none can compare to it. That is a man who understands God. He keeps me, he guides me, he talks to me, and I have joy. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For he is with me. I am safe in the palm of his hand. I am safe under the shelter of his wing. I am safe in him. I am not safe in the world. Friends, doesn't this tell you where you should be? world or God? Let me leave it up to you. And of course, my friends, this is in contrary to how people view protection today. David speaks of God as his protector. It is different than the message of the world. People of this world depend on their high walls and their guns. If you walk in, if you drive in Centurion, you will see the high walls in Pretoria, high walls and fence. That's what keeps the people safe. When people have that, they think they are protected. People have guns. They've got alarms in their own houses. That is good. But there are also those who think that they are better off without God. They can do it. They can protect themselves. Away with your God. But David says, as for me, I know what is good for me. I am safe in the Lord. Friend, you can have your safety. You can have your protection from this world. But make sure that your soul is safe in God. Make sure your soul is safe in God, especially against your enemies of this world. The psalmist, he looks around. As you read the psalm, you can see he speaks of enemies. He looks around. He sees the multitudes, the throng of enemies surrounding him. But he confidently says, I am not in ruins. My life is not over yet. I have God on my side. Let me tell you, my friends, church, we need to stop dying before our time of death. Stop dying before your time. There are people who just die, spiritually dead before their time, losing hope when there is hope. Your life, anything about you, anything about your children, about your future, and about this church, it is not over until God takes you out of this world. It is not over. Unless you're not depending in God. The psalmist says, it is not over with me. I can see my enemies. They're coming around me. An army is encamping around me. But I trust in the Lord. The Lord is my salvation. You can see in verse number 6, he emphasized his confidence in the Lord. He says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. What does that tell you? Friends, without God, you will have to hide from your enemies. The psalmist says, now, my head. After he says in verse 1, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid to? He says, now, my head shall be lifted above my enemies. I'm saying, without God, you will have to hide from your enemies. Let me remind you of the story of Luther again. I didn't go to it into details. I will not go too far. But let me remind you of Luther. Not only did he compose and sang that new song of great confidence, but Luther stood before the Pope. Friends, when you speak of the Pope on that time, you're not speaking about this clown that is walking around kissing the ground. The Pope had great power. The Pope had the right to decide who lives and who dies. The Pope had the right to take a word from Scripture or to add anything from Scripture. That's what they believed. But Luther stood before the Pope and that false church of Rome. He stood with confidence. What I want to bring to you is that he did not hide from his enemies. Regardless of the fact that one of his friends warned him. He said to Luther, do not bite the hand that feeds you. You know, when you're going to such a difficult time, you have those friends who advises you. As Luther was about to be executed, as he was about to be taken to that place, one of his friends, actually his mentor, said to him, Luther, my son, do not bite the hand that feeds you. But Luther continued. Luther pursued what he thought it was right. He stood there face to face with that Pope of that time. I want to show you confidence. I'm not giving you history. But he stood there and he looked at that man in the eye. He says, the Pope may interpret Scripture, but he is not above Scripture. That is confidence. But not only did he say that, he says, unless I'm convinced by scripture and plain reason and not by popes and councils who have often contradicted themselves, my conscience is captive to the word of God. My conscience is captive to the word of God. That is confidence in God in the times of death, when the man standing before you has the right to kill you or to set you free. My conscience is captive in the word of God. He says, to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I will not go against my conscience. I know whom I have believed. I cannot. I will not recant. I will not change the way I view things. I will not change the way I believe. I will not run away from God. I will trust in the Lord. I will depend upon God. He says, here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Friends, that is confidence. Confidence for protection, standing at the verge of death, at the point of death. He says, I'm still protected. That is salvation. That's the word protected here. Yeah. I'm still preserved. Friends, do you have such confidence in the Lord? Regardless of what storm and what wind blows against you, do you know if you are preserved in God or not? The psalmist says, my enemies will do me no harm. I am preserved by the Most High God. My life and my future is in the hand of God. Do you remember the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 2? I'm not going to tell you the story. Go read your Bible. But if you see, what you see there is that he was preserved by God. That is the word. He was preserved by God. So in the same way, friends, in the same way, my friends and church, your enemy cannot touch you, for God is on your side. Verse 2 says, they will stumble and fall. But I must also make it clear that the primary cause for this preservation in God, it is the redemption of the soul. In other words, you cannot claim to be preserved in God unless your soul is redeemed by God. The primary cause for this preservation in God is the redemption of the soul. Where lies your soul, lies your protection. It speaks of salvation, to be preserved. And only then you can have confidence on that rock of ages, the rock of ages, cleft for sinners, so that they may hide themselves in God, where the water and the blood from that wounded side of Christ flowed, so that you and me can escape the wrath of God. In this verse, we see that the Lord is committed to our protection. He is committed to protect us. Remember the prayer of Jesus in John 17, some of the words he said there. He said, keep them safe, keep them in your name. We are protected, preserved in the name of Jesus. Outside the name of Jesus, there is no protection. Outside the name of Jesus, there's no safety. Be protected, protect them, keep them safe in the name of Jesus. And the psalmist says today, it is so. God is doing the same. He will not let your foot be removed. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. Do you remember those words? God does not sleep, does not slumber. He is able then to protect you. He keeps you and protects you. He protects your going in and your coming out, the Bible says. For that reason, you need to depend on God. Because he preserves you from your enemies, and he preserves you from the pit of hell. The psalmist expresses the joy of his salvation. He expresses the protection from his enemies, the protection that he finds in God. He says, then, since I'm protected in God, all that I need now, all that I want, is to go to the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord. Because God's salvation leads me to desire to inquire in His temple. God's salvation, His protection and care, it leads me to seek His instruction from His word, the instruction from His house, the instruction from Jesus. That is what salvation brings me. That's how I feel when I think about God. Friend, if you think about God in a different way, if you think about God in a different manner than this, you are not a Christian. If you don't feel this way, as the psalmist feel, you are on your way to hell. Look up to Jesus. Call upon Him. Let Him save you. And you will look at Him in the way that the psalmist look. Desire to receive instruction from the word of God. Desire to come and receive instruction in the house of the Lord. Do not stay away from the house of God and stay at home for no purpose. Come, have this in you. Have this in you, as the psalmist does in himself. And then you will be preserved. For He alone has the power to preserve you. He alone has the power to keep you. He alone has the power to protect you. Deadly. The psalmist says in the same verse, the Lord is my stronghold. That speaks of safety, but it also speaks of strength. The Lord is my strength and my refuge. It speaks of God being that place where you hide. It speaks of God being that place where, like a cave, where in the times of war, there were caves before. If you go to Mpumalanga, there's a place called Sudwala Cave. That is the cave where the Swazis, the greatest nation in the world, they hid there. Yeah, hiding. They were hiding there. David says, the Lord is my cave. That's where I run and go under. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. That is, David says, I'm hiding in thee. Are you hiding in Him? Hide in Him even this morning. We have the picture of a hen keeping her chicks, her little one, under the wing in the times of snow, storm. That hen would rather die, but to protect his own little ones. The psalmist says, the Lord is like that to me. This is the man that I can only run to. He is my stronghold, my strength. David says, I don't only feel safe in the absence of trouble. You see, friends, there are people who feel safe in the absence of trouble. When it's daylight, people are safe. When it's night, people are scared. It is right. It is good. It is true. But David says, I don't find protection and safety just because I'm not in trouble. Actually, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of destruction, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of wickedness of this world, that's when I find what? Strength. That's when I find God to be my refuge. That's when I stand up. When the enemy encamp around me, when everybody is searching and looking for my soul, that's when I find protection. That's when I see that I'm protected. Actually, it's true, friends. How do you know you are protected if you have never been in danger? For the company called Nissan to know that the airbags in a Nissan Luvina are working, what must they do? They need to test. That car needs to be in an accident. So David says, I know I'm protected. I don't need to be in a place where there's no trouble. Even when I'm in trouble, I only look up to God because I know I'm protected. No one else I can look up to. When the world is against me, when evil men and armies surround me, whom shall I fear? He asked in verse 1. He also asks and says, whom shall I be afraid? David does not consider his weakness, my friend. He considers his strength. He says, God is my refuge. The presence of God in his life gives him confidence. He has no fear of this changing world and increasing wickedness of this world. He knows that if God is for us, who can be against us? Do you know that? that God is for you and no one can be against you, you should know that. This is just a reminder. If God is for us, who can be against us? So when you read this psalm, you soon find out, friends, that we are not talking about a man who was not in trouble. No, you soon find out that not everything was going well in the life of David. But that's not the important point. That's not the important point. The important point is here, is that God was on his side when life seems to be against him. God was on his side. Friend, church, regardless of what life brings to you, God is on your side. He looked at his problem and he looked unto God and he weighs the two. Then at the end of the day, it's like I can see him standing there having that peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Do you have that peace? The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. How can you have this peace when you know that you are protected? Remember the story that I told you earlier about Nonto? She had peace when she came to me that I will do. Why? Because she knew in me she is protected as a child. When you have that peace, that's when you know we are protected. In verse 2, David has a testimony which strengthens again his confidence. He recalls, this is very important, friends. He recalls God's past deeds in his life. He remembers that God caused his enemies to stumble and fall. Sometimes you need to look back when you are in trouble, not only to look forward to God, but you need to also look back and see the past deeds of God, what God has done in your life. You need to look back and count your blessing, as one song says. Look back and see how faithful God has been in your life. David, in verse number 2, he looks back and he points back to the good deeds of God, the deeds of the past. You need to remember God's deeds of the past. You need to remember that God changes not. He does not change. He remains God and he will never fail you. We must always have then our focus, the focus of our minds to the Lord, regardless of the fact that we are easily distracted in this world. And our focus sometimes is dim, and our minds and our hearts are everywhere at times. At times we slowly lose strength as the waves, the big waves of this life hit on us, trying to sink us deeper than the ocean. Sometimes those things happen. But friends, God is your strength. Only God is your strength. You need to raise your head above your enemies because God is your strength. Express your great confidence in the Lord in spite of the host of enemies around you. There's a time to look around, but also there's a time to look that direction, to look unto God. How do you get such strength? How do you get such strength, friends? By depending on God. By drawing day by day to the house of the Lord to inquire in his temple. David says, you can trust in the Lord. You can cling to the promises of God. He says, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they are the one who stumble. That is great encouragement, my friends. In other words, God gives me strength when evil people are against me, when evil men come against me, when the army shows some kind of illusion of being a threat in my life, God is there for me. God manifests his power. God becomes the refuge of my life, my hiding place, my strength in the midst of trouble. You can see that confidence in verse number 5. You can see how faithful God is in verse 5. three times in verse 5, David speaks of God will. There are three will. That's the faithfulness of God. That's why we have confidence in God. He will. What does David says? He will hide me in his shelter. That's God. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. He will set me on a solid foundation. That's the rock. He will lift me up through Jesus Christ. For Jesus himself is the rock. That is why, friends, he will say, I want to find myself in the presence of God. I pray and I hope that we want to find ourselves. To find myself in the presence of God. God is a place of refuge and strength. Let me just give you this footnote. Just a side comment. During this Christmas festival, it's not a festival, this Christmas holiday, many people forget who they are. The youth forget who they are. The adult people forget who they are. People forget where the church is. People forget who God is. But friend, as for you, to stand predominant during these times where people, instead of rejoicing, there is so much evil. For you to stand predominant, hide yourself in God. Find him to be your hiding place. Notice, David does not only depend in God for today. He also depends in God for tomorrow. He depends in God for tomorrow. That's why in verse 5 he says, he will. That's future tense. Three times. He will. Not only does he keep me now. Not only is my light now. Not only is my salvation now. He will always be. You can have confidence in God. He does not change. He believes to be secured in God for the future. Not just today. And in the same way, my friend, you need to believe that the Lord will take care of you. Church, this psalm reminds us of why we are here. It reminds us of who we are. We are the children of God, those who trust and depend in God. God is our light. God is our salvation. God is our stronghold. And whom shall we fear? We shall fear no evil. We shall fear no man. We remember his faithfulness. We remember his protection. We remember his love. The love which he lavished upon us. That we may be called the children of God. And indeed we are. This psalm reminds us of that. Friends, have confidence in God. He is your stronghold. He is your strength. He is your refuge. He is your hiding place. Not this world. This world is just a sinking ship. This world is just like a cocoon floating in the air for a little while. It will soon crash down and crumble like snow, and everything will be over. Depend on God. Trust in him. Have confidence in the Lord. Remain in his light. Rejoice in his salvation. Take hold of his strength, that you may hide in him. How? Seek him while he may still be found. Dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. Gaze upon the beauty of God, and he will lift you up upon a rock. He will put you on a solid foundation if you depend on him. Fear nothing. Have nothing to worry about. Even though darkness may surround you, the Lord is your light. He takes care of you. He takes care of your trouble in this troubling and challenging world. He is your protection. He is your guide. He is your strength. Remember his past deeds. Always remember his past deeds. He was able to save you from your way you chose to hell. He was able to save you. The question is, what will keep him from protecting you now? Nothing is keeping him from protecting you today. He will not give up on you. Don't give up on him. God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, my stronghold, the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Trust in the Lord. Be confident in God. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray.
Thank you, O Lord. Thank you. for you who is our light, who is our salvation, the God, who is the stronghold of our lives, O Lord, the God that we can trust in, the God who not only brought us into salvation, but is able to keep us in salvation, the God that we can cry unto. So we thank you, O Lord, for reminding us of your goodness, reminding us of your love for us, O Lord, that we should not fear anything, that we should not fear the future of this church, that we should not fear our own future, O Lord, that we should not fear that one day we may depart from your ways, O Lord, because we know that you are the one who is able to keep us in your ways. May you be glorified, O Lord, as we trust in you, as we rely on you, O Lord, and as we rejoice in your faithfulness and your goodness towards us. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.